Okay, we are on Tes Zion Amud Aleph, believe it or not, cruising through the Masechta, Mamash cruising. Have you guys ever learned this much of a Masechta before? How many of you guys have been Messiah Masechtas? Yeah. It's great. It's awesome. We are cruising. So the Mishnah says like this, a Mashal Shul Defanish Ma'ala Lamata. The person is lowering, so to speak, his walls from above to below. The only reason it's really presented as a Mashal Shel is because you can imagine a case where a person is like weaving it with the poles or whatever. But the bottom line, it doesn't make a difference how he's doing it. The point is that his wall is going from top to bottom and it doesn't reach the floor. So his walls are being put up on top, on, you know, they're being attached to poles or whatever the case may be, but the walls don't reach the ground. If it is three tvachim or more away from the ground, psula, then the wall is not considered a legitimate wall. Apparently, you can too many things can get in. It's not legit. And therefore, we don't view it even as a type of virtual wall, and it's no good. What's interesting is that in Hilchos Eruvin, so that's not necessarily true. In Hilchos Shabbos, you could have a situation when you have like a porch, and it's not even like fenced in, but you got a porch, you got like a ceiling above the whole thing. So, okay, so we view it like, you know, imagine as if it comes down. So the other scenarios where we would view a wall as if it is virtually there, but apparently in Sukkah, it has to be more enclosed than just a virtual wall, even though there are other situations where we said you just have a virtual wall. So if we were really doing this, but you know, what we do is we compare some of these cases and figure out when is it good, when is it not, because if you remember, there's a fascinating case of a guy that's on a pillar in the middle of a sukkah. Now, he does have walls around him, right? Do you ever have a case where you can have a guy sitting on a pillar in the middle of a sukkah, and we just imagine that the walls that he's sitting on just go up? So, if you can have such a case, so he really doesn't have walls at all, maybe it's because he's so high off the ground. Like, when do we view it as a virtual wall is good enough to be a wall? And when do we require a real serious structural wall? So it's a very interesting thing to think about. If the walls are going milamata lamala, but if the walls do start on the ground and they are going up, im gavoya saritvachim sheira. So then as long as the wall that does begin on the ground is 10 tvachim high, so then even though it doesn't reach the schach, the sukkah is kasher. Rabbi Yossi says, k'shem she milamata lamala sarah. Just like when we go from bottom to top, all you need is 10 tefachim, and we view it as if it continues up to the schach. Kach mamala lamata sar tefachim. So too, if it's going from top to bottom, why should you say any differently? He thinks we do not say any differently, and that virtual wall is good enough. You can have all kinds of animals and who knows what going through, because there's enough room underneath the wall to just go in and out. Okay, but that's enough to be a virtual wall. He really pushes the envelope and says it's a virtual wall, and we have that in all over the place. Why shouldn't it work for sukkah? Why do you need more of a structural wall? So what do you have so far? So you have a machlokas here about one case, right? If you have a wall that does not reach the ground, so does it have to be lavud to the ground? That's the impression you get, because otherwise, what's the significance of three tefachim, right? So it's three tefachim or more, then it's no good according to the Tana Kama. Are we all together on this? If the wall is three tefachim or more away from the ground, doesn't reach the ground, it's not within three tefachim of the ground, so that's no good according to the Tana Kama. And according to BAC, that's fine, provided that your wall is 10 tefachim. So let's just kind of try to work that a little bit in our mind.
The wall from the schach to wherever this beginning of the three tefachim from the ground up is 10 tefachim.
Yes, if you have holes.
Yeah, but it's a 10 tefachim besides a wall.
What do you mean by drawing in perspective? So, if you have...
That's pretty good.
If you have just poles that are up, and you want to go ahead and put a wall up, so there are a few cases. You can have a case where you have 10 tefachim from the top, and this is all empty space, but this is filled in.
That's a wall.
That, Rabbi Yossi, it's crazy, right? You just like walk in out of there.
Rabbi Yossi says.
Rabbi Yossi is willing to say that we view that as if it continues downwards. And that the Tana Kama refuses to say. He requires, if you have a wall that doesn't reach the ground, it has to be lovely to the ground. It has to be within three tefachim of the ground. then he's willing to say it. Because when we have halacha, halacha l'shasin, I love it, and we do consider it to be attached to the ground.
So in that case, like, how could it, like, how do you have, even have a door?
Who needs a door?
Yeah. Well, then you just have like a four walls.
We don't need roads. What?
Then you just have four walls in a sense.
If what?
What's the point of having a door? What's the point of
you don't have to have a door.
If you,
doors are not necessary.
If you have a virtual wall, can you walk through a virtual wall? Or, of course you can. Or is it then like suddenly like, I didn't know, it's a serious question. Like if you had like that thing, the 10 tefach, then let's say someone decides, oh, I'm going to like walk back and forth through it. Is it still considered a wall then? Because people are like suddenly using it as like an opening.
So in the case of sukkah, I think that just because, yeah, let's say it's less than 3 tefachim from the ground, right? So you decide you're going to roll in and out of your sukkah, that's where you're going to go in and out, you know? I mean, it's fun, right? So that seems to be fine. Now, contrast that, in Hilchos Eruvin, you do have an idea that Rabin Boikin Boy, if your area in your wall is like, you know, there's just a Rabin, people are going in and out, that may invalidate your wall. But it seems like that's not the case with Hilchos Eruvin. Just because you can roll in and out, it doesn't seem to be a problem. Okay, so that's what we need to focus on. Is that picture that I drew where you have 10 tefachim of wool on the top near the schach and a lot of space underneath it. But Yosi is willing to be master of that. Why? What's the idea of the 10 tefachim? Why is it Yosi insists on 10 tefachim? The answer is because that's a wall. As we know from what we've learned in the past, if you remember, the Gemara started off talking about Aron Tisha Kaperis Tefach, or maybe it's just Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. However we learn it out, however we derive it, but the Gemara did say, in no uncertain terms, that a mechitzah is 10 tefachim. Right? Nechal Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, wall, 10 tefachim, or 10 tefachim high off the ground. 10 tefachim is a mechitzah. Now, it doesn't help you in shul to not look at women, but it would technically be a separate domain, you know, it would be a separate rishus. So that's the idea of the 10 tefachim. So he required, you can't just have like 3 tefachim or something, and then, you know, we imagine it goes to the ground. What I'm just explaining here is that the idea behind Rabbi Yossi is that once you have a legitimate wall, we can envision that the wall continues. But you have to start with a wall. You can't just start with a little strip of something and say, oh, well, you know, we'll pretend that it continues. The idea of the continuity of the wall is that I have a mechitza here. So we can envision it as it goes to the ground. But you must start with a mechitza. If you don't have a mechitza, then you can't, there's nothing to talk about. The other opinion holds that apparently you need a full wall that's a structural wall for sukkah, and all of this virtual stuff is not good enough. So the Gemara says, but my kamiflegi. So what exactly is this argument about? Can you have a virtual wall or a structural wall? What's this all about? So Gemara suggests the following. Mar Savar, one holds. So again, who are the in our boxing match here, who are the contestants?
Rabbi Yossi.
So Yossi is the one that holds Lakula, right? We're going to call it a kula because he's allowing you to use less of a wall. And the Tanakama, who's going to be the majority opinion, right? Whenever you have a Tanakama, an unnamed Tana, it means that's the Rabbanan. That's the majority opinion. Rabbi Yossi is a Das Yachid. He's an individual opinion. He's a lone opinion. So the Rabbanan are of the opinion that you need a full wall. You can use the Lavud, but not more than that. But Maya Mifili, what are they arguing about? Mar Savar, one holds Mechitza Teluya Materes. That a hanging Mechitza allows you to carry on Shabbos. Umar Savar, and one holds Mechitza Teluya Eina Materes. A Mechitza that's hanging down is not Materyu to carry or to draw out water, as we'll see in a second, on Shabbos. The Gemara says, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to let you in on this mechitza tluya idea. What does it mean, a hanging mechitza? Where do you have hanging mechitzas? Tanan HaSam, you learn the Mishnah over there. Where is this Mishnah, by the way? How do you know where this Mishnah is? Let's say I want to look this up. How do I find it? It's a Mishnah. It says Tanan. That means we learn the Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah?
The star.
Star, what does it tell me? Okay, so in the Gemara you'll find it an Eruvin Pevav Amiral. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You're going to find the Mishnah there. Bor, a pit. Really, here we mean a well, right? So it's filled with water. But it's a pit. It could be filled theoretically with anything. But a bor, maybe that's the direction of Chazon Ish, I don't know. But bor shebein shtei chazeres. A pit between two courtyards. Ein mamalin mimena b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to fill up from it on Shabbos. Wow, it's like this is Parsha, you know. Rivka comes to fill up from the well. It's like, you know, yana diyuma. El yimkein asala mechitza sar tvachim. Unless you made for her, for it, a mechitza, a division, a wall of some sort, that's a tarat tvachim. Bein milmala, bein milamata, whether it's above, whether it's below, whether it's actually inside the pit itself. And the Rishim Gamliel Aymer, Rishim Gamliel says, not so fast, Bishamay Aymerim milmala. Bishamay is the one that holds, actually must be above. Mesilla Aymerim milmata. Mesilla says it can be below. The mechitza doesn't have to be any greater than the wall that's already in between them. Okay, what in the world just happened over here? Let's try to explain this. Well, let's read the words one more time, and then let's explain it. So the words are, Tanan Hasam. We learn in the Mishnah over there in Eruvin. Bor, a pit, Shebein Shtei Chatzeres, says between, meaning it is shared. It's between, it's shared by two chatzeros, two courtyards. So two people live next to each other, and there is a pit, there is a well, that's in between the two of them, and they share it. Ein memalin mimena b'Shabbos. Ein here means you're not allowed. You're not allowed to fill up from it on Shabbos. Ela imkein, unless. Asala mechitza, you made for it a division of a saret tefachim, a 10-tefach wall of some sort. Bein milmala, whether it's above the well. Bein milmata, whether it's touching the water, it's on the level of the well. Bein besoichoignoi, or whether it's actually inside the water of that pit, of that well. So you have options. That's the Tanakama. Rishon Gamliel says you don't have options because Bishamai says it must be milmala. It must be above the level of the well. Beis Hillel says it has to be below, seemingly on the water level, but not inside the water. And Rabbi Yehuda says, this mechitza that we're requiring to extract water from the well doesn't have to be any greater than the wall that's between them. What are you talking about? What wall between them?
The split in between the system.
Yeah, so the case is that there's a well between two courtyards. What that means, a well between two courtyards, is that courtyards have walls. So this is a very unusual case. Did you guys all see a picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit
hard to draw, but the picture they have over here in my Gemara is that the courtyard has this wall. So that's, this wall goes, you know, on both sides of the courtyard here. So we're going to use X-ray vision over here. This wall that breaks up between one house over here and one house over here, there is a pit that goes in between the two. So there's a wall that actually crosses it on top. A wall. The chatzer's wall, the courtyard's wall. So Rabbi Yehuda, the last opinion in the Mishnah, says, so you've got a division on top of your pit. So that's all you need to extract water on Shabbos. The other opinions hold that's not good enough. You need something in addition. And there are three possibilities. An additional mechitza of some sort that you build on top. Or some kind of mechitza that you build that's, I don't know, somehow on the water level. Or the third option is it has to actually go into the well itself. It has to be dividing the actual well itself. So the first opinion of the Mishnah is that you have three options of doing it. You cannot rely on the wall that's already there. You must make an additional mechitza, but that additional mechitza could be above the water level, at the water level, or inside the well. Any of those would be sufficient. The second opinion is that it's a machlokas bisul b'shama. And b'shama is one of the holes that could be above, so it requires that the mechitza actually touch the water level. Then Rehuda says that you don't need any of this stuff. The original wall is good enough. Those are the opinions. What's the issue over here? What's going on? So what's going on, perhaps this is a little bit less well known, but really what's going on over here is the concept of Eruv Chatzeros. That we kind of imagine that once you have a wall,
So that's called a rishus hayachid. So that's true. That's what we're all used to. I can carry in my backyard. I've got a wall. There's no eruv in my community, but I have a fenced-in backyard. I can carry in my backyard. It's a rishus hayachid. The difference between your backyard and what's called a chatzer is that a chatzer is a shared yard. So it very well, it is walled in. The traditional chatzer was totally walled in, but because there were multiple families that lived and opened up their houses, opened up into that courtyard, despite the fact that it's walled in, is considered a shared rishus hayachid. A shared rishus hayachid, you're not allowed to carry in midirabbanan. You have to do what's called an eruv chatzeris. Which means you got to get the people together that live in that courtyard, and you set aside a box of matzahs in somebody's house. And then that becomes a shared area, and not we're all one big happy family. We all live here together. And then you're allowed to carry in the whole thing. And that's really the concept of the Eruv in general. Eruv in general is bringing all the Rishios into one. We're all one big happy family. So it's a Rishus Hayachid, because we all live together. So that's what's going on over here. So in order to take stuff out of that well, if you want to take water out of that well, that's a machlokes, what's necessary. Is the original wall of the chatzer good enough? Because at the end of the day, it's not a shared courtyard. I'm in my courtyard, and that part of the well is in my courtyard. Look, there's a wall! And the guy down the side has his part of the well that's in his courtyard. The other opinions hold that that's just your courtyard wall. Apparently, that's not good enough because the well itself is a shared area. So you're taking out from a shared area. So in order to do that, you need an additional mechitza for the actual well itself. So that's what's going on. That's the three-way machlokas in the Mishnah.
What are the three ways you do? One is if it's the wall goes into the well. That makes sense. What were the other two?
There are two opinions that are three. The basic division between the two opinions is that, is the original mechitza good enough or not?
Right.
That's A. If you hold the original mechitza not good enough, so then there are three options. You can make an additional mechitza on top of the water level. It doesn't even have to be touching the water. You can make a mechitza that does touch the water. Or you can make a mechitza that's like inside the well. Like a mamash like separates the well, you know, like
if it's
in the inside.
Well, I understand, because it kind of like separates them. But if it's on top or like a little above, how does that help the problem?
At the end of the day, the whole thing is just some sort of heker, because it's only a nisar drabanan anyway. And so they wanted to prevent people from utilizing the shared areas. So there is a wall going across it, but they said, no. But because the well is a shared area within the chatzer, so we need an extra heker. So the extra heker is, it's a heker. It's just something that makes it recognizable so that you're not violating the nisar drabanan. But that was what they decreed to get around it. Okay. What does this have to do with anything? So why did the Gemara quote this? So the Gemara started off by saying, what are they arguing about? Our Mishnah. So again, let's go over Shagotari again. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, there's a machlokas if you can have a 10 tefach wall that does not reach the ground, more than 3 tefachim away from the ground. Is that good enough or not good enough? That picture, the 10 tefach wall, good enough or not good enough? Rabbi Yossi says yes, and Rabbanan say no. Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Gemara says, they're arguing over this concept of mechitza tluya, a hanging mechitza. And the Gemara quoted for us a background to this, that you see there's a concept of a hanging mechitza, a mechitza that doesn't reach the water level, a mechitza that doesn't reach the ground. That's called a hanging mechitza. Apparently, this was a machlokes, if such a thing works. What do you mean? So the Gemara says, three lines down from the bottom, it says Zion would be. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda, who's Rabbi Yehuda? The third opinion in the Mishnah in Eruvin that says all you need is the original mechitza of the courtyard. Right? No additional mechitza is required. Now that wall that crosses the courtyard, is it touching the water? Certainly not, right? The mechitza doesn't touch the water. The well is underneath that thing, somewhere down there. So Rabbi Yehuda, b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amra, Rabbi Yehuda is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. In other words, they are the same opinion. That's the bottom line. They share the same idea, same thought process. What's the thought process? What did Rabbi Yosi say? Once you have a mechitza of 10 tefachim, I don't really care how high it is. We view it as if it goes down to wherever you need it to go down to. So just like Rabbi Yossi said, once you have a 10 tefach wall on your sukkah, you can imagine it goes all the way down, even though it's way up high. So to Rabbi Yehuda, when he allows the mechitza of the courtyard to work, he doesn't require it to have anything, he doesn't have to reach the water level in any way, shape, or form. It's enough that it crosses the well, and it's 10 tefachim high. So we can view it as if it goes down to the water, that's no problem. So isn't it true that they're saying the same thing? Amar Rabba Barachan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Huda, Beshitas, Rabbi Yosi Amra, to Amar Mechitza Tluya, Materas, who says that a Mechitza, a division, a wall, Tluya, that is hanging, Materas, allows you to do whatever it is that we're describing. To carry, or to draw the water, or to be in your sukkah, whatever the case may be. Isn't that true? So the Gemara says, survey says, Velohi. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savar laki Rabbi Yosi, lo Rabbi Yosi savar laki Rabbi Yehuda. Neither one holds like the other. In other words, these two issues actually have nothing to do with each other. Why not? The Gemara explains. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savar laki Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda by the well who allows the courtyard wall doesn't hold like Rabbi Yosi, and would say like the Rabbanan when it comes to sukkah. In other words, let's try to say this clearly. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the courtyard wall that doesn't reach the well, that's good enough to take water out of the well. But you cannot use a 10 tefach wall in a sukkah if it's too high. Why not? But it works by a well. Why shouldn't it work in your sukkah? What's the distinction? Ad kan lekam Rabbi Yehuda, until this point doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda. In normal English, that means Rabbi Yehuda only allows a hanging wall. Hassam over there. By the well, elevei ruve chatzeros, except regarding the issue of mixing together chatzeros, dirabbanan, because the whole issue is only dirabbanan. What do you mean? The reason why Rabbi Yehuda would allow the courtyard wall, which doesn't reach the water in the well, doesn't reach the well, is because we're really super duper lenient when it comes to that, because the whole prohibition is all a Durabanan prohibition of mixing together chatzeros anyway, Eruv chatzeros anyway. What's the worst thing that will happen if you take water out of that well? If I link it as a Durabanan, going from one Rishu Sayachid to another Rishu Sayachid, that's all Yisurim Durabanan. There is nothing wrong with that. Yeah? No, see, he allows a Mechitza Materas. He holds that the Durabanan allow you to use that because there's a Mechitza there anyway. We could get more complicated than that, but that on a very superficial level, so he's willing to be very meka with that type of mechitza. Avalhacha, but when it comes to sukkah, avalhacha, sukkah deraisa, a sukkah which is a deraisa requirement for a wall, loy, he will not allow it. So to say that this is a virtual wall to get around an issue, derabanan, he says, okay. But when it comes to creating a wall for the mitzvah of sukkah, he says, no, virtual walls don't work. At least not type of virtual wall. Doesn't work for sukkah. You require much more than that. Okay. What about the other way around, though? The other way, Rabbi Yosi should agree to Rabbi Huda then, right? Because Rabbi Yosi holds that wall works for sukkah deraisa. Well, if it works for sukkah deraisa, of course it should work for Eru Chatzeres derabanan, right? You hear that, Svara? If you're going to allow a virtual wall in a derabanan case, then you can say, but not in a deraisa case. I hear that. Because it's Daraisa, when it's Daraisa, it's Darabanan. So we're more Mekel on Darabanan than we are on Daraisa. Safek Darabanan le Kula, Safek Daraisa le Chumra. So we know we're more Machmir when it comes to Daraisas. So Rabbi Yehuda, who allows a hanging Mechitza for a Darabanan, may not allow it for a Daraisa. That's what Gemara is saying. But the other way around, Rabbi Yosi, who holds that it does work for a Daraisa Sukkah, that wall works for a Sukkah, why shouldn't it work in a courtyard? For a well, which is only an issue of Eru Chatzeris anyway. You hear the question, right? So you ready for this, Gemara? Where it says like this. But Lord Rabbi Yosi suffer like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi doesn't agree, doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Why not? Ad kan lakam Rabbi Yosi hacha. Until now, Rabbi Yosi only says here that the wall works. Elibis sukkah, only by sukkah, rather by sukkah. Why? The mitzvah is asay. Sukkah is a mitzvah is asay. Right. right? Okay. Aval Shabbos, but Shabbos to Isser Skila. Loi Shabbos, which is a prohibition. If you violate Shabbos, Aloy says a person can rob Rachmana Litzlan, get Skila, get stoned. So there he will not allow it. What's the obvious question? Wait, do we understand what he's saying? The distinction is, if you want to distinguish between Shabbos and Sukkah, it's an easy distinction. Because for Sukkah, you would allow something you wouldn't necessarily allow on Shabbos. Because for Sukkah, you allow a wall that's virtual, because you're Mekayim a mitzvah's aseh. But a lav that has skila, we're much more machmir about. Now that in and of itself is a little interesting, because what do you mean? How can you be machmir and mikel? Either work deraisa, or it doesn't work deraisa. That's a little strange thing to say. Is it a wall deraisa? It's not a wall deraisa. So that's...
Does that mean that a din on a lav derabanan is...
That's what the Gemara was saying. We're more machmir on a lav that has a huge consequence like skila, and we're more mekel when it comes to the daraisa that's only an asin. Which is, wow, really? But I thought it's definitional. So that has to be answered. That has to be explained. But wait a minute. The bigger question is, this is, what you tell me, what's the bigger question? Is the virtual wall by the well, is it an iser skila? If you draw water out of that well, is it Isser Skila?
No.
No, we just finished saying it's all Derabbanan. Because you're taking water from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. There's no Isser Skila here. That's the bigger question, right? What in the world are you talking about? Rabbi Yossi is going to say, by Sukkah we'll let it work because that's a mitzvah assay. But Shabbos is Skila! No, you're right, but not in this case. You're with me, right? So what kind of distinction is the Gemara making? That's strange. So how does Rashi explain it? Where's the Rashi? You see Rashi? I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines now or something like that in the skinny lines. It says, Avol Shabbos Isser Skilahi. You see it? Avol Shabbos Isser Skilahi. B'malachas D'Araisa. When we're talking about a case of a malacha D'Araisa. Machmerino, and then we're more machmer. Avabamidid Rabbanon. Sorry, I read it wrong. Machmerino, afilu, even bamidid Rabbanon, the ispe. Even with the rabbinic elements that it contains within it. What do you mean? Meaning, because Shabbos is so important and so critical, so Rabbi Yossi is not willing to be megel even on the dinim Rabbanon of Shabbos. If we wouldn't allow this to function on a deraisa level, then says Rabbi Yossi, we will not allow it to function on a derabanan level either. Massive chumrah, because Shabbos is an iser skila, so then we just don't play games with it. We don't play even on a derabanan level. Well, what are you talking about? So this is probably rooted in the following concept. Have you ever heard of the concept of ke'ein deraisa tikun? So let me just try to introduce you to this idea. All over the place in Shas, happens again and again and again. That whenever Chazal made Xeros, they don't just decide what they want to do. It's always patterned after Deoraisa structures. Always. The Rabbanan don't make things up. They are patterned based on Deoraisa structures. That's called Ke'ein Deoraisa Tikkun. Similar to the Deoraisa, they made their Takanos, they made their decrees. So that's probably what's at the root of all of this. Is that Rabbi Yossi is saying, if we're not going to allow this on a deraisa level, then the rabbinic structures utilize the same dynamics. So we're not going to allow it on the derabanan level either. It's still a big chiddush, but that's seemingly what he's saying. If this won't work in a deraisa case, then it won't work on the derabanan case either. Because the rabbanan patterned their derabanan cases based on the deraisas. So if it doesn't work there, right, we're not going to let it work for our structures either. But if apparently, if it's a mitzvah's assay, it's not a law with skila, then apparently it works. That's another question that we didn't explain, but that definitely requires explanation. What's the difference between a mitzvah's assay and a law that has skila? What? But if it works there, right, it works there, right. What does that mean? So that requires further explanation. Okay, but in any case, so where are we holding the Shagul Tari right now? So the Gemara started off asking, what's the machlokas in the Mishnah over this case? If you have a machita, 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim, a machita, 10 tefachim, can we imagine that it virtually goes all the way down or not? machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi says yes, Rabbanan say no. Gemara says, what are they arguing about? Gemara says, arguing over what's called machitza teluya, a hanging machitza. Because you find in another area of Torah by the well that that's argued about. So Gemara says, isn't that a parallel machlokas? And that's exactly what our Mishnah is arguing, though it's the same exact issue. And my answer is absolutely not. The two cases are actually very different, and what you hold about one may not be what you hold about the other for two different reasons. One way to look at it is because sukkah is an aseh, and Shabbos is an isra skila. Or the opposite way to look at it is that Shabbos in this particular case is totally dirabanan. It's just an issue eru chatzeris, and when it comes to sukkah, that's an issue deraisa. So one says one case may not be at all, one says in the other case. So just because one holds one way does not mean they will hold that way across the board. It depends on what the particular issue is. Does that be your question?
Yeah, what is the word hamish al-shalim?
It means literally to lower. Like a chain, but it means to lower it down. Just to start at the top and then go lowering your wall toward the bottom. So that's how the Gemara says that up until this point. And the Gemara says, so just because you come out one way in the Mishnah, in Sukkah, will not reflect anything about what you will say in another case, in Shabbos. So there's no such rule as Mechitza Tluya is good or Mechitza Tluya is not good. It simply depends on the particular case that we're discussing. You're going to have to evaluate it on its own. It's not a rule across the board of Mechitza Tluya. So the Gemara has rejected, basically, its explanation. It's not, the machlokas in our Mishnah is not simply rooted in the problem of a hanging machitza. Hanging machitzas depend on the case. V'im toimer, and if you'll say, Maise, shenase b'tzipayri, al piminaise. Well, according to you, the incident that happened in Tzipori, according to who was it performed? Whose opinion was it in according with? Lo al pi Rabbi Yosi, el al pi Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. Then according to what you're saying, you're going to have to say that it was not in accordance with Rabbi Yosi, but rather it was according to his son, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yosi, who apparently disagreed with his father. Oy. What's the case in Tzipori? What happened in Tzipori? You want to ask, Zumai Ma'aseh, what exactly was this incident in Tzipori? The Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi was always coming from Eretz Yisrael. Always coming from Eretz Yisrael. The Asa Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. One time, Shkachu, they forgot. And they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah and Erev Shabbos from the house that it was stored in. Whatever exactly the case was historically of this incident, apparently the Sefer Torah were not kept in the shuls at the time. Maybe there was danger, or whatever the case may be. So the Sefer Torah were kept safely in people's homes. So the case was where apparently the shul shared a courtyard with other homes, but because it was a shared area, you wouldn't be allowed to carry unless there was an Eruv Chatzeris. And I guess there wasn't an Eruv Chatzeris. So the Sefer Torah got forgotten in someone's home, and it didn't make it to shul before Shabbos. Lumachar, the next day, which was Shabbos, Pirsu sadinin al gabe ha'amudin. Literally, they spread blankets, cloths, on top of the pillars. Vehevi, which apparently didn't reach the ground. That was what we understood. They put some blankets on top of the pillars that didn't reach the ground, but there was 10 tefachim of, you know, blanket on top of the pillars. Vehevi'u sefer Torah. And they brought a sefer Torah from from the house that it was in. Vekaruba. And they read from it. So what exactly is the case over here? In other words, they created a chatzer that went straight from this individual's house straight to like the door of the shul. So it's a little bit hard to picture, but if you can imagine a big courtyard and a few houses that open up into it, including a shul, so they were able to make a pathway with mechitzos that didn't touch the ground from the person's house all the way to the shul. So you're not violating anyone else's chatzer, because they're no longer part of the chatzer. This person now has a courtyard that goes straight to shul. And since the shul apparently is not a rishus of any individual person, I guess, we'll have to work that out. But apparently the shul can then be considered no problem to carry from his house straight to the shul, which a little bit questionable. Why should that be? But we'll have to answer that question. But apparently that's okay. We've secluded We've excluded all the other houses from this chatzer. Well, so how could you do that? They didn't reach the ground. Well, apparently it wasn't Rabbi Yossi that was matir it. Apparently people heard it was, or whatever the case may be. So it was Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, it was his son, because apparently his son held that even on Shabbos, we would allow those things to work. Just like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Okay. The Gemara asks, Pirsus al-Gadaitach! You think they actually spread cloths on top of the pillars on Shabbos? You can't do that. You can't make a mechitza on Shabbos like that. Meheichan heviyum b'Shabbos. Where'd they get them from? You can't carry them in the chatzer to make a separate area because that's the whole problem. There was no eruv in this chatzer. So you can't carry them to get them to the pillars. Where'd the blankets come from? Ella, rather, matzu sadin in person agavi amudin. They found that these blankets were already spread out on the pillars. So whether that means that that's the way it was originally, well, then what's the problem? So it sounds like they were maybe on them somehow and they lowered them. They made sure that they were 10 tefachim long or something. But the rule on Shabbos is that you're not allowed to make like a wall or a roof or anything like that. But you are allowed to add to an existing one. You know where this comes up? Like mamish, like halach lamaisa, like every week? Strollers. Strollers have an ohel. You open the strollers so that the kid has shade. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? You're not allowed to make a tent on Shabbos? How could you do that? See, the answer is because it's already there. And it's even already always like a tefach open because it doesn't like close all the way anyway. So I don't even know if you need that svara. But the bottom line is that you for sure can add on. If it's already open, if it's already like a tent that's there a little bit, you can make it bigger. But if it's no tent at all, you can't just go ahead and make a tent on Shabbos. You can't just go ahead and make a mechitz on Shabbos. So apparently these were there, but they weren't open all the way or something like that. So they opened them up all the way. It was a sarat tefachim. They didn't reach the ground, but okay. They view a sefer Torah with karubo, so they opened them up all the way. They brought the sefer Torah and they read from it. Okay. Oh, fine. So what's the Shach Vataria? Gemara wants to know what's the machlokas in the Mishnah. Gemara suggests it's a machlokas over a global concept called Mechitza Tulia. The Gemara answer is not so fast. Mechitza Tulia depends on the case. You have to evaluate each case individually. There is no global machlokas over this. You cannot say that it was good in every case because you hold of Mechitza Tulia, no such thing. It depends on the given case. Gemara says, well, so according to what you're saying, Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow a Mechitza Tulia on Shabbos. Where it says, okay, fine. Well, what do you mean? But everybody knows Rabbi Yossi was the one that allowed this whole thing with the blankets and getting the sefer Torah from the house to the shul. It was Rabbi Yossi's son. Rabbi Yossi's son actually held a Rabbi Yehuda and disagreed with his father. Okay, not the end of the world. Amar of Chista, Amar of Avimi. Chista said the name of Avimi. Machatzeles arba umashahu. A mat that is 4 tvachim plus a teeny bit more. Materes basuka. Mishum doifen, can allow a sukkah to be good as a wall. What? You're going to make a wall? You're going to make a wall out of a 4 plus a teeny bit tefach wall? You have a mat. It's 4 tefachim and a little bit more. You can make a wall for a sukkah out of that? No, you can't. How could you possibly do that? We just finished saying in order to have a wall for a sukkah, you need at least 10 tefachim. This one's only 4 plus a teeny bit. What? How do you do that? Asks the Gemara, good question. Hey, Chiyavid, how do you do that? Talilei be'emtza, you hang it in the middle between your schach and the floor. Pachos mishloshe lamata, pachos mishloshe lamala. Less than 3 from the ground, and less than 3 from the schach. So it means your schach has exactly 10 tefachim high, and you put this 4 plus a teeny bit, tefach mat, less than 3 from the schach, and less than 3 from the ground. And it's lovely, up and down. So if you're in Florida, you need like, you know, a little extra airspace because it's so hot. So this is your eitzah. You know, this way you have a wall without it being a full tent of a wall. You don't even need a full tent of a wall. V'chol pachad v'shalosha kelavudami. And any time that you have something less than 3 tvachim away, it's like it's connected. It's lovely. It's kelavud. It's like it's connected. Dummy, it's similar. Gemara says, Pshita! Obviously, everybody knows that there's a thing called lavud. What? What's your chiddush? Maladisema, I might have thought, Chad lovud amrinan, tre lovud loy amrinan. Lovud you can say in one direction, but not in two different directions. To say lovud up and down? Who says you can say lovud in two different directions? Come Ashmalan, it comes to teach us that we say lovud in two different directions. Does anybody know where we had this exact concept, but not in terms of lovud, in terms of something else? Anybody remember in our Gemara we had this? Our Gemara says, that's obvious. Everybody knows we say that. The Gemara answers, no, but who says you can say it in both directions? Or in all four directions? Anybody remember? Dofen Akuma. The Gemara did this to us earlier by Dofen Akuma, where the Gemara said, let's say I have a pillar in the middle of a sukkah, and it's ceiling, and it's ceiling, and it's ceiling, and it's ceiling. No problem. You can say Dofen Akuma. The Gemara says, you can say it from all sides. That's the chiddush. So the Gemara does the same thing here with lavud. Meisve, I'm going to attack you. Get ready. Machatzeles shivo mashahu. Math that's seven tvachim plus a teeny bit. Materis basuka. Mishum doifen. That you can allow in a sukkah and it'll be a wall. Not four plus. Seven plus. What's obviously going on with a wall at seven plus? Seven plus if it's lavud to the ground. Or maybe according to Yossi, love it to the schach, then that's good enough to be a wall. But you see from here, it has to be seven plus, not four plus. It means you can't say love it in two directions, right? Ooh. Kitanya, that's a brisa. Kitanya, hahi. When we taught that brisa, seven plus. Besukha gedoyla. That was talking about a large sukkah, not a 10 tefach high sukkah, a big, a normal sukkah. So then you can't say love in two directions practically. So that's talking about a case. Yeah, if you want to be able to have a wall that's less than 10 tefachim, then it has to be loved, but you could utilize loved. It's not saying you can't use loved in two directions. It's just saying you can make a sukkah with the 7 plus wall, and that'll be good enough for your 10 tefachim, because it'll be, if it's loved. Umayka mashmalan. So what are you trying to teach me? The mishal shalin defanois milmala lamatik Rabbi Yosi. And the chiddush must then be that you can say lavud to the schach with a seven tefach wall. Because everybody knows lavud works. So it can't be, that was the kasha previously, right? That what's your chiddush? Everybody knows lavud works. So going here is also saying, I don't want a brisa to tell me that if you have a seven tefach wall, it could be lavud to the ground. That's, everyone knows that. That's lavud. Lavud works. We know that. No, so then this opinion would have to be saying it could be lavud to the schach. And now you have a 10 tefach wall, and we view it as if it goes all the way down. So it's like a double virtual wall. It's double virtual in the sense that you're using lavud on top, and it's also virtual in the sense that we view the wall as if it continues to the ground, like Rabbi Yosi said. So that would be the chiddush of this brisa. I'm Rabbi Ami. So then Rabbi Ami says, Pas, we're going to finish at the bottom. It's two dots at the bottom. We're going to finish with this. Pas arba umashahu. If you have a, I don't know, best translation of pas, but you remember we spoke about a board. What? Oh, with a saf. Yeah, with a taf, it means bread. With a samach, it means like a board. How do they translate it over there? Benji, how do they translate pas? How does he translate pas? Pas arba masho. Some kind of board. Well, if you find it, let me know. Anyway, so some sort of, you have a board that's four tvachim and a teeny bit more. What?
A board, yeah.
That's so boring. Matir basuka mishum doifen. That you can allow to work or it'll kasher, it'll matir basuka as a wall. Umoikim la, and we have to establish this chiddush, or this halacha. When it's less than three tvachim from the wall. And as long as it's within three tvachim, it's lavud. My kamash malan, obviously, that's no chiddush. Hakamash malan, shiur meshach sukkah ketana shiva. That's coming to tell you that the bare minimum of a sukkah is seven. What just happened? The case of pas is different than everything else we were saying. Why? A pas means it's a board that's standing straight up. Until now, what we're talking about is a wall where it's near the schach or near the ground, going up and down. So now we're saying it can be loved to the ground and it can be loved to the schach. This case of the pass
is saying that it can be leveled to the next wall. But, well, great, of course it can be leveled to the next wall.
Like a gap.
That's leveled. We know leveled works. So that's what Gemara is saying, is that the chiddush in this case is that once you have 4 plus, and then this is less than 3, that way it's all connected, that's all you need for a wall. Okay. Well, that's possible in Peshamah, if you remember. Because the Gemara said that in order to have a sukkah, the smallest it can be, is Rosho, Rubo, Vishulchano, according to Peshamah, and Beis Hillel does not require Shulchano. So this opinion is saying, he's paskin, he's saying, the Chiddush is that that's what you need for a kosher sukkah. It can't be 6, it must be 7 tefachim. That's the opinion of Beshamai, Rosh, Rubo, Vishulchano. That's the dimensions, the length and the width of the sukkah have to be 7 by 7, and 10 tefachai is under Shavahai, the sukkah has to be. But that's what the Gemara is saying. So we have 3 cases here. One case is where you're saying love the top and bottom. One case is love it only to the top. That's Rabbi Yossi's Chiddush. It's really Rabbi Yossi. And the third case is the Pasar Bav plus Mashu, which is telling you that the bare minimum of dimensions of a sukkah has to be 7 tefachim.
Okay, so that's for today.